A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that is centered on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the carnality under canvas that is Robert Wilson. With me, I have the bent tent peg that is...
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Freddie's cherry popping is you. This week's Dumpty Dum comes from Luke Hannington, stuck at the airport and creating something he describes as sounding like the radiophonic workshop from the 1980s. Lucy, if someone wants to send in a Dumpty Dum, how can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction or fall violently out of love with your partner for no discernible reason, then call us on 0203 031 3105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thanks to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and for doing the Dumpty Dogs, and to Derek going in the back bedroom. I've just seen Derek sitting on Auntie Cardboard's sun lounger. She's getting annoyed with him as he's naked again and his calippo is leaked everywhere.
On this week's episode, we have calls from Photo Voltage, who thinks we've not seen the last of Bonnie, Sussex Shepherd, who thinks Lizzie needs help, Magic Badger, who thinks Harriet's podcast is called Sandwiches, Goddess Diva, who has some very exciting news, Auntie Jean, who's not keen on James, who is, and Blithe Spirit, who thinks Susan's gone too far. But first, let's have Lucy V. Freeman's Week in Ambridge.
It was Patroniser Townie Day in Ambridge, or Open Farm Sunday, as we call it. These are cows. You might have seen them when you were driving along the motorway, said David bewilderingly. Who grazes cattle on the hard shoulder? Anyway, when you were driving along to the funny little places where you people live, we're out doing a proper job, he said. It all went very well, and they all went to the pub afterwards, except Pip, who decided to stay behind, do the milking, and lick the silage clamp clean. Everyone at Bridge Farm was completely confused as to how the news about the land sale had leaked out. Who could it be? Why they didn't immediately assume it was Susan the Bridge Farm Cullender, I don't know. She got a right ticking off by Pat, who said, I have asked you into the house, which I don't normally do because you're staff, and you have to eat your lunch perched on a milking stool while Helen throws cheese at you and lectures you on food hygiene. Susan was completely unrepentant, as she always is, but I couldn't quite figure out what her opinion actually was. She managed to say she wasn't a NIMBY, the village needed more housing, but she was entirely against it, and also entirely for it. Meanwhile, Sausage Boy and Helen are already spending the money they haven't got yet. Helen went to get inspiration from Felpersham Cathedral, which seemed slightly grandiose. It'll be the first cheese shop with in-house choir stall. Anyway, it's all sounding slightly dubious now. Justin seems to have gone off the boil and was pretending to be on the phone with Singapore when Sausage Boy rang, panting, to say, yes, please, Uncle Justin, can you be my real daddy? He was elbowed out of the way, though, by Horrible James, who was helping himself to the contents of Justin's pockets in return for going a nice long way. Away. Freddie and Johnny, the intellect vacuum, are back from the festival, bringing with them a septic eyebrow and probably a large dose of the clap. Freddie said he'd had an epiphany at the festival. It was his first epiphany ever, and it was with a girl called Bonnie. Well, I presume it was a girl. With a name like Bonnie, it could have been a golden retriever. Anyway, Freddie showed his true colours by kicking Johnny out of his own tent and spending all the money on drugs and didgeridoos so they couldn't get home. When they did eventually make it back, he was greeted with the words, my God, that looks really nasty. I think it's gone septic, but I wasn't entirely sure which part of his anatomy he was showing everyone. Lily had been convinced Freddy was fine the whole time. Call it twintuition, she said irritatingly. Or twat-tuition, possibly. It's times like this I really miss Nigel, said Elizabeth. He could have understood Freddy, what with his Prince Albert and everything. Anyway, Elizabeth had a big chat with Freddy. Education is preparation for life, said Elizabeth. No, it is not. Education is learning how to write on one side of the paper only. The sound effects people got a bit bored this week, as no one went riding, so they didn't get to do any coconutting. So instead, they decided to concentrate on getting very, very specific with drinks sound effects. Lillian was chatting to Justin. There was a tinkle of ice, and I thought, hang on, that's not a gin and tonic. And I was right, it was a Pimm's. So that either means they are a bunch of perfectionists, or I am an alcoholic. I'm hoping Jimmis will develop an obsession with Gibson martinis, so someone's got to work out how to impersonate a cocktail onion. Everyone's favourite couple, the appalling James and Leonie, came to visit with baby Mango. They bust up Linda's party with a gigantic row so that the scriptwriters could have a lovely mother-in-law war again. James trotted back to Mar. He's not allowed to use Lillian and Justin's bathroom, though, because it's too full of Preparation H and Dentifix. Can we not have any more chats with Rex and Anisha running? All I can hear is a lot of nylon rubbing against each other and heavy breathing. It's like being in the tent with Freddy and the Golden Retriever. Anyway, Rex finally decided to stop acting like an in-betweener and asked her out on a proper date with food and talking, and then ruined it by saying, "You book it, I don't know where." But I have had my own epiphany. Only a small one. Maybe an epiphanet. Lillian does actually now need to run away with Matt. Yes, he may be a crook. Yes, he may be a shifty arsehole. Yes, he may be crooked as a curly-whirly. But he never, ever patronised Lillian. He recognised her as being an equal. Justin's lying and patronising to Lillian, paying off her son and lying about it, making her look like a total arse in front of her family by not telling her about Bridge Farm. So I say, ditch him. Drop him like an 80s avocado bathroom suite, Lillian. And although I'd like to recommend that you get on with your life yourself without a male crutch, that's about as likely as you joining the temperance movement. So in the meantime, hook up with lovely, criminal, dodgy, funny Matt. Hello, pusscat. The end.
Well, you ended that on a bit of a bombshell there.
Why? Do you not agree?
I sort of do. And he's got a Bentley. Yeah. I've always wondered where...
You know, Robert, we've had this chat.
I prefer Rolls Royce, as you know.
You have to stop going out with men just because of their cars.
Oh, sorry. Well, Mini Metro just doesn't measure up for me. That was very good this week.
Thank you, Robert.
And very, 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 there were quite a few sore points in it, I thought. Piercings, etc.
Yes. But don't you think, though, that he hasn't told, he's making Lillian look like an arse? You know,
yeah.
I know Matt did too when he legged it off to Russia with half her savings. He always was on Lillian's side against the rest of the village. It was those two against everybody else.
Mm. He's and only now, on his own side.
Yes, exactly.
And if he can use Lillian to bolster that, then
and
all for the better. But I vacillate with Justin. Sometimes I think, oh, he's done the right thing. And the bit where the two boys turned up to Damara Capital.
Yeah.
And he was just a bit knowing and taking the mickey a little bit, but he was always going to help them out. And I thought, oh, yes, I like that. But then, yes, you're paying off James.
Mm.
But then again, quite frankly, I'd pay James quite a lot of money to bugger off as far as he could. So
when your partner asks you a direct question, you don't lie. You say, yes, I gave him some money to help him court and win Leonie back again.
Yeah.
Which is ostensibly why he did give the money. That at least is a reasonable excuse, but just to go, nope, you know, and then to have the whole village talking about what her partner's doing and she doesn't know, you know, it's terrible.
Yeah, to start with fibs like that and keeping stuff from her, keeping her in the dark, it doesn't bode well. And it's going to build up to something much more than this, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is that kind. It'll be Andrea, I told you, under the desk fixing his router. But I do think, though, that there's kind of something patronising about it. You know, when he's kind of saying, I just want to protect Lillian, keep her away from all this. And you think, you sound like Rob. It's not about that. It's just easier for you if he's not there. Just tell the truth.
Yeah, she doesn't need protecting from anything,
no,
does she?
No, and the fact that he thinks she does means that, you know, he hasn't got her right.
That's what I was just about to say. He hasn't got her metal, has he? Doesn't know what she's made of.
Nope.
Oh, well.
Mostly
we'll
Botox,
works,
to be honest. But
oh, yeah, well. Yes. And, the showdown between Linda and Lillian.
I was enjoying it until she said, that's something you can't comment on. And then I thought, oh, Lillian, what have you done? But I loved
and
her response, though. Yeah, absolutely. It could have, she could have just fronted it out, but she just went, oh, God, because she realised, oh, God, I've, buggered, I shouldn't have done that. And now now she's in the wrong and she's got to go and apologise and all that.
Mm-hmm. But that's why I like Lillian, is that she can be impulsive. Mm. She does like a gin and tonic, nothing wrong with that. And she likes blokes, nothing wrong with that either. She does have a moral compass and a bit of backbone. And when she makes mistakes, she knows she's made a mistake and she's happy to admit that.
Well, she owns it, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Which I can't imagine Justin ever doing. Matt does, Matt came back and went, oh, yep, sorry, I stole all your money and ran away. Sorry!
That's a bit different though, isn't it? That's dismissive of
yes.
Yeah, I did it, but I don't give a shit.
Probably do it again, give it another chance.
Good God, yeah, I think that's what he's working on. I think he's working on nicking Justin's money and Latif's.
Yes. I just cannot get over how anybody would think that a race course in Costa Rica doesn't sound like the shiftiest Mr. McShifty of Shifty Town, just the like, most prone to dishonesty on every scale.
Yeah, it's like a pork pie shop outside a synagogue, isn't it? You just don't believe that this kind of thing exists.
and just the kind of the fact that this is his idea of going straight, You just think, oh, Matt.
Get involved in the dodgiest
industry. Yes, exactly. Let's
that
find.
Is legal.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. Mr. Shifty, isn't he? But the other thing is, speaking of the Bentley, as we were earlier, he's
whose money is that?
But he's been back in the series 2 months.
Yeah.
Something like that. And he's living in a hotel.
Yeah.
So he flies over, lives in a hotel, and buys a Bentley. How do you? I don't understand that they haven't really thought this through.
No.
When they ask you for your, when you insure it, and they ask you for your insurance details and your address, you can't say Gay Grables, can you?
I'm living in a hotel and I'm investing in a race course in Costa Rica. And they're, yes, you sound like a great bet. We'll put you down. Yes.
But I think it's probably a second-hand Bentley, though.
Do you think?
Not that I'm a snob, but yes, I think it probably is. A Continental GT, second-hand.
Right.
Formerly owned by a footballer, a disgraced footballer.
I did
like
it, though, when James was going about, is the problem when you've got a prestigious car like an Audi, and then he goes, nah, mine's in the one next door. And he just went, you've got a
Bentley.
Oh, God, James is so horrible. Now, two plot things I do not understand this week, so I'm hoping you can.
Okay, let me pour a glass of wine so I can.
So you're at full strength.
Yeah.
Right.
Violent pour there.
Could you understand whether Susan actually liked or didn't like the new house proposal?
Yeah.
Or was it all smoke and mirrors? It's like arguing with a teenager. Where you say, I've just read your text messages, how very dare you?
It is. Yeah,
and they go, what are you doing reading my text messages? She just was caught cross because she was caught out.
She said, I'm not a gossip. And you think,
yeah.
And you're not self-aware either, are you, Susan? So the thing is, she just lives, she's Sky News of, or the Huffington Post of Ambridge, isn't she?
Yeah.
So she grabs hold of any little titbit and she will spread it thin and or thick and wide. Mm-hmm. So I don't think she actually has necessarily an opinion, but she feels she has to have an opinion so she can then spread that opinion and spread the news.
Okay. So it was just, I thought you ought to know rather than, guess what I've heard.
Because she lives in a house that they built anyway. So it would be spectacularly hypocritical for her not to be in favour of building new houses.
Now, the other thing is, this word popped up that you said earlier, that it was a farrago.
Oh, yes.
Now, I've looked up, and I'm going to look it up again just to make sure that I'm not going around the bend, the word farrago. Oh, a confused mixture of fact and myth.
Oh, okay. Well, that's sort of how I...
But it's not how they did it, because Lillian described something at the party as a farrago.
Okay. And that should have been...
I don't
know.
Not
even a fiasco.
No, it was like a cross between a fiasco, a fandango, and a virago, as in a shrieky woman, which is what.
And a folder roll. Yes.
And a fold up envelope. So, yes, that word was very peculiar and made me have to go off and look it up, but that's probably because I am a little bit anal. And there was one more thing that didn't make sense to me, but no, I can't find out what it was.
Well, that stupid bloody building that Bridge Farm now think they're going to build with £500,000.
Yes, the stupid building, £500,000 is going to get them about the floor, I think.
Yeah.
And also, they haven't got planning yet. They haven't got this. They haven't even signed the thing yet.
Barely got a business plan together. How are you going to be able to pay back the building costs on a £500,000 super space barn that they're going to build with just a bloody how to make cheese night school? No one gives a flying Wensleydale about it, do they? I mean, it's just ludicrous. I mean, so there's Cheese Woman and Sausage Boy, and they're supposed to be entrepreneurs, and they haven't got the first bleeding clue about making money. You don't make money by just chucking 500 grand at something you don't need.
Yes.
They might as well buy two of those houses and rent one of them out to Daryl.
Yeah, and one out to Emma, who's already expressed an interest.
Quite.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's more of that coming later, I think.
And also, the way that Justin and Anthea behaved about... Do you remember in the olden days when you asked, before mobiles, when you asked someone if you could borrow their phone and you said, it's only a local call, or it's very short. They were behaving like that. I thought, it's business, it's bloody free. Just, they're only ringing someone in sodding, you know, Lower Loxley. It's fine. But the weather, it's only for company business, you know. And I thought, flaming Henry.
Yeah, I think he was playing them along a little bit there. But Anthea is like that, though, isn't she?
Yes.
She's very much by the book. I mean, she was practically running, practically telling Lillian what to do when she worked for Amside.
Well, she was running it because Lillian...
Yeah.
Lillian, did you hear that this week Lillian did go off and look at a property?
First time she was checking someone out. Checking someone out, which means she's got to find new tenants.
Yes. Who could that be?
Yeah, I don't know. I hope they didn't ruin the carpets. That's all I can say.
Should we do the calls now?
I think we should.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Who have we got first? We have got Photo Voltage.
Ah.
Hello, Lucy, Royfield and all the Dumpty Dummers. Photo Voltage here. I've been listening to Dumpty Dum for a couple of months. It keeps me sane and awake while I'm driving around the country at weird times. I'm a travelling salesman of sorts, so I listen to the Archers on the iPlayer and your podcast in the car and on the plane as I wend my way around Europe selling my wares. As I'm a first-time caller innerer, I hope I've got all the rules covered. It's Photo Voltage on the Twitters. I'm not exactly sure what I am, hopefully not a titchy knob. I've been listening regularly to the Archers for a couple of years. I seem to remember lots going on with Tiger and Puscat, something about a broken arm and Linda Snell's relatives, Coriander and Mungo. It sounds like a bad salad. I'm afraid I haven't got a dumpty dog or a cat to share. I have got some lovely children who groan very loudly whenever the tones of Barwick Green float into the car over the airwaves. So here's my plot prediction. It's a Bridge Farm bonanza. I think the rest of the Bridge Farmers will convince or maybe overrule Tony and sell up to Justin, that this will lead to feuds Kirsty will snub Helen with her newly rekindled eco-warrior status, which is just too at odds with the development. The Brooker's Bunch will take serious umbrage at this. Branch of the Archer's clan coming good after just forking out to replace Tony's precious Angus's. Tom will be annoying and indignant as usual, and Josh will swipe the beloved Fordson tractor and flog it on his website while making Rex do all the dirty work, of course. I think Tom will go all Borsetshire hillbillies and rock up at his new fermented food shed in a biodiesel-powered Ferrari. In other news, I think Freddie might have got something else to remind him of his wild weekend on the Isle of Wight, other than a septic eyebrow. Will Bonnie resurface in Ambridge in a few months' time with a little bundle of joy for little Lord Loxley and his didgeridoo? I did enjoy the election double entendre, but they need to give it a rest with all the Brexit bollocks. Thank you all for a very entertaining podcast, and keep up the good work.
We haven't got a travelling salesman, Photo Voltage, or our first one. And you got everything right, apart from you sailed over the 2-minute call limit, but that is excused as you are a newbie. So he reckons Krusty will snub Helen. I'd completely forgotten that, that they've just paid them all that money for the Anguses, and now they're going to be rolling around on, you know, rolling around naked on £50 notes, aren't they?
Yeah, but it's got to fall through, hasn't it, don't you think?
But why is Justin suddenly backing away and going, oh, well, I'm on the phone to Singapore, I can't talk to you? Do you think he's had it valued and it's a lot less?
Oh, I think he's... This is what businessmen do, isn't it? That they...
He was nice while he was trying to usher them into it, and then he got them into it, and now they're not... Now it's,
it would be very much like Brexit negotiations, won't it?
Right.
That...
no one knows what the fucking hell is going on. Do you mean like that?
Exactly.
Yes.
I think, well, once they've agreed to it, there's going to be some tough bargaining. He's not going to throw money away if he doesn't have to.
No.
But Matt's right. Matt says, well, you need to find out actually how much it's worth. There are other people who will pay more.
Yeah. That's crazy. Hmm. They're so bound over at Bridge Farm. They're so bound up with their own ideology and their terror of doing anything ethically wrong that they just make really stupid... They make very quick and stupid decisions, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. And it always goes wrong, and they always live to regret it. And this is what's going to happen again. Although I can't quite work out what's going to go wrong, but maybe Clive Horribin will move into to one of the houses. Or Rob would buy one of the houses.
No, he wouldn't sell it to him.
No, he wouldn't.
Yes, he would. But, hired him, wouldn't he?
He bloody hired him, and it will be an estate agent that's selling the house.
Hello, Helen. Oh. Now, will Bonnie appear with a little tent peg of her own, do we think?
Either that, or, as you said, a dose of the clap.
I don't like this soapy tropey that everybody that ever has one night stand immediately gets pregnant. So I don't believe that's going to happen. And I think if you go to Glastonbury, you go with an entire rucksack filled with condoms.
Especially at their age.
I mean, it's, exactly.
It's drilled into them, so to speak. Interesting technique.
But oh my God. That Freddie, sometimes I feel sympathetic to Freddie, and other times I want to pull off his own head and make him eat it. And I think that's the stage that I'm at now. I think he's being unbearable. And you know, poor old Johnny, having to put up with him all weekend, he was like being strapped to a lunatic, wasn't it? He was just making really dim decisions. And Freddie was Johnny was kind of going, all right, then, I'll do that then. Yeah, what?
Yeah, but, you know. He had his dirtle door moment, didn't he? And he you've got to congratulate the man for that.
Everybody needs their door dirtled whenever they can get it.
Oh, I quite enjoyed that coincidence. And I thought the interesting thing was that there was that kind of mirroring of what happened to Lizzie 2 years ago, that she got down and dirty at a festival in a tent.
I hope he rinsed that sleeping bag out.
Oh, God. Do you think it was the same sleeping bag? Oh, my God. It doesn't bear thinking about.
No.
The map of Africa in that must be enormous.
think she's probably set fire to that sleeping bag a long time ago. She's got any sense. Magic Badger is now.
Hello, Royfield, Lucy, Harriet, and Dumdy Dummers everywhere. Magic Badger here, a first-time caller-innerer, contacting you from New Brighton on the Wirral Peninsula in the northwest of England. The Archers was always on in my house as a kid, but to my eternal shame, I paid it very little attention, and I've only really become addicted to it in the last 3 or 4 years, which I reckon makes me a Harassment Burns. Is that me? Solid and dependable, but a bit dull? Go on then, I'll take that. I'm only a few months into the Dumpty Dum podcasts, but I'm enjoying exploring the archives and seeing how accurate various contributors' plot predictions have turned out to be, or otherwise. I've also enjoyed Harriet's wonderful back catalogue of shambridges, which I'd previously been unaware of, having misheard Royfield and thought he was saying at sandwiches. Need to get my ears tested. I listen to Dumpty Dum, weather permitting, zipping along on my bicycle. I'll send you a picture, here in New Brighton, aka the Scouse Riviera. Plot predictions, nothing outrageous here. I think Lillian's deceit over the origin of Matt's gift suggests to me she's no more ready to bin him off permanently than she is to bin off his jumble sale tat. And the romantic storylines, I do think that Rex and Pip will get it together. I think the two vets will end up mating. And perhaps controversially, I think Roy and Kirsty will get it on too. That's all for now. Was I under 2 minutes, Lucy?
Another first-time caller-innerer. I do like this caller-innering.
So do I. And he's a fellow cyclist. So, because I did 50 miles. I did 50 miles yesterday.
Did you? And, in that heat? Cycling,
I know.
Are you mad?
What?
Are you mad?
Yes. And cycling through the villages and, all the farms, funnily enough, smelt like the worst toilet at Glastonbury. Why do farmers insist on spreading as much muck as possible just before there's a terrible heat wave? It was
because they know there's not going to be any wind.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But yes, I two new caller inners this week. I was very excited. I like this chap. I like the cut of Magic Badger's jib.
Yes, but we have to apologise to Magic Badger. I'm very sorry. I think you rang in. A while ago, and I didn't notice that you had rung in, so I'm very sorry. So this is a bit late. I think you possibly are a harassment. It doesn't make you officious. It makes you unable to find bunting. Yes, Harriet is a bloody marvel. You're absolutely right. She's incredible. Rex and Pip will get it together.
I disagree.
I think Rex and Anisha will get it together and Pip will be heartbroken.
Yeah, good. Serves her right. Good. And you know my views on Anisha.
I do, yes. Stop it.
Lovely Anisha. Sorry.
Just because you got your baggy shorts on, you've not got the freedom.
And Roy and Kirsty.
Yeah. Oh, God.
There are too many people think that these long boiling or long simmering romantic situations turn out well in the end, and they don't. Everything just goes off the boil or the bottom of the pan burns out.
Yeah. And also, she's now lived with him. So she's had to go into the bathroom immediately after he's been in there. Which means that, and you can't have, you only survive that when you have the love bit. You can't do that bit first because then you don't get the love bit.
Oh, you're right. He's not even in the friend zone. He's in the housemate zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which only gets you anywhere if you get too tipsy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's never happened to me.
She would send Roy out to buy her Tampax without a shadow of a doubt. Therefore, not
yeah,
happening.
True. I've been the bringer of super absorbent a number of times. Yes.
Magic Badger, do not end your call to me by saying, "Was I under 2 minutes, Lucy?" It's very depressing. Right? Don't do that. Now this isn't depressing.
I wonder if that's what Freddie said to Bonnie. Yeah.
Oh, God, I don't want to think about it. Let's do Goddess Diva's very exciting call.
Oh, yes, let's.
Hello, Dumpty Dum, it's Goddess Diva here. Just wishing everybody a lovely sunny Sunday and inviting anybody who happens to be at Glastonbury next week on Wednesday at about 1 o'clock. at the Stone Circle to come and witness me and the anarchists get married. And that's pretty much all I've got to say, apart from really, it's after listening to the Omnibus this week, it's surprised I still want to get married. Because the men in Ambridge don't exactly cover themselves in glory, do they? Twats, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you, Freddie Pargeter. What a twat. Anywho, I'm all happy and loved up. And like I say, 1 o'clock, Stone Circle, Wednesday, on the solstice at Glastonbury Festival. We would love for you to join us if you can. Goodbye, Dumpty Dummers. Bye.
She's getting married at the Stone Circle at Glastonbury. Where else? Well, we hope you and your anarchist will be extremely happy.
I've never been to Glastonbury.
Neither have I. I hope the Stone Circle is a nice long way away from the lavatories. That's all I'm saying. But that's very exciting. And it shows that despite our cynicism on this show, because it has been levelled at us that we are somewhat cynical, that real love does exist. So hoorah for that.
Yes, you know.
James and Leona, Leonie breaking up and, you know, everybody in tears everywhere. And people are still getting married. So hoorah for them. Yay. Auntie Jean's call, very quickly. Jean, Jeanette, let yourself
go. Hello, Auntie Jean here. I have one thing to say and one thing only. Isn't James an odious little twit? End of message. See you soon. Bye.
I think the answer to this, Auntie Jean, is yes, he is. And I think twit is a very restrained way of putting it. James is unbelievably awful. Even when he sent his mother out to go and when she said, I could do you an egg, and he then immediately ordered sausage, mushrooms, bacon and egg. And then she said, I can't do that. So he said, devil all right, kidneys. Then I'll have devil kidneys. Silly ass. Honestly, unbelievable. He's an appalling character.
One word, egregious.
Yeah. We have a request that came through from Jenna, who said, can this week's Dumpty Dum give some of James and Leonie's history for the uninitiated, meaning me, she said.
Right.
Now, I was trying to remember. James was down staying with Ma, with Lillian. Leonie and Coriander came to stay with Linda and Robert, and they got together. It was all quite rushed, wasn't it? Quite quick, their relationship. They're two of the kind of people preferred James to Leonie, but they really didn't like either of them. And so they were sort of two grotesques getting together because nobody else wanted them. And then they came back again with this crazy idea that they were going to do aerial photography, weren't they? From a helicopter.
About that.
And this was a business that, like all Anbridge businesses, appeared and vanished in the space of a fortnight. How had James broken his arm? James had broken his arm, hadn't he? Because Leonie was looking after him, but I can't remember how he'd broken his arm. But how had he broken it?
Well, frankly, I'm quite willing to break his other bloody arm at the moment. Maybe he pissed someone off and they snapped it for him.
We haven't got a very great deal of backstory on them, apart from they're both hideous, Jenna, which I think you could have quite happily picked that up for yourself, really. So I don't think we've added an awful lot. Mm. But yes, unbearable twonks, both. So that's that. Sussex Shepherd.
Evening, Royfield, Lucy and fellow Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's the Sussex Shepherd here. Just wanted to mention a couple of things that have struck me over the last few days. Number one was the fight between James and Leonie, which I thought was hilarious, made me laugh out loud. I've seen more depth in characterization in a Donald Trump tweet than in that fight. And then I laughed even louder the next morning at James's performance over breakfast, which reminded me really of the Prince Regent in the third series of Blackadder, initially demanding sausages, and then it had to be deviled kidneys when sausages were found. So that really made me laugh. And the second thing that occurs to me is I don't think we need to worry about Freddie. I think who we need to worry about is Elizabeth. I mean, in less time than it would take Lillian to down a G&T, she went from, I've come to understand you, and I've come to listen to you, to saying, I don't understand, and you're going to do what I say, and you must shut up and listen to me. So, I think we need to worry about her. Anyway, there we go. Just my thoughts. Thanks very much. Keep up the good work. Really enjoying the show.
What did you think of the argument between James and Leonie?
God, I'm glad I wasn't involved in it. That's all I can say. Oh, dear. It's obviously, it's staged, and it's not that realistic. Would you have an argument like that in that social situation? I mean, obviously, some people would, but it did. It made me cringe greatly.
But also,
mainly because I've been so close to that situation, but care.
But I didn't ever get to grips with what the problem was between them. She was saying lots of things about, you don't understand that you're spoiled and you don't listen, and there's all these things that you don't understand. But she was never specific about what he'd actually done, why she'd thrown him out in the first place.
Well, maybe he'd asked for deviled kidneys one too many times.
But it was just weird. It was like an incredible amount of aggression.
Not to piss anyone off, isn't it? But
it was a phenomenal amount of aggression based on very little. It was slightly odd.
But if you're not suited, eventually you start to rub each other up the wrong way, so to speak, and everything falls apart.
Yeah. But I mean,
and that's obviously what's happening.
I didn't really see why he came down at all.
Well, because to keep up appearances.
But they did. They clearly didn't care about
keep up
that,
appearances,
did they?
Well, not when they got there, no.
No.
If they want them to break up, they want them to break up.
Let's do, who should we do now? Blythe Spirit.
Hello, Dumpty Dum, Blythe Spirit calling. Well, I just wanted to pick up on a few things from last week's Dumpty Dum. I've only just listened to a whole 2 weeks of The Archers myself. About Freddie and the O-level business, I am wondering about this because I appreciate that Elizabeth might be in the wrong to push him if he's not academic, but surely he needs his English and his maths in order to present evidence of literacy and numeracy. And he would have to do that for any job. I mean, it's really damn difficult to get a job if a decent job if you don't have those two qualifications. Yeah, he's going to have a shitload of inheritance. Perhaps he doesn't need to worry, but surely just getting those basic qualifications down would be a really good idea. As for town planning, which you discussed with Robert last week and Lucy, in my experience, the town planners I know have either done a degree in planning and urbanism, or they've done a geography degree and then they've gone into planning departments after that. So if this storyline is going to go anywhere, that little nugget that was planted at some point, and Freddie is going to go into town planning, he's going to need that maths O level. He's going to need a hell of a lot more study. And quite frankly, if he isn't willing to do it, he ain't going to get there. My main thing this week, though, was the conversation between Susan and Pat, and the way that Pat gave her such an easy time over the revelations and the gossip about what was going on at Bridge Farm. I'll make this short. If Susan was my employee, I would be giving her a major bollocking over what she's done. And I think that Pat really should have done the same. When you're employed by someone, you do not go spreading business, and you certainly don't do it on the basis of hearsay when discussions and deals are in process. And even after that, there is a duty of confidentiality. For me, that would be verbal warning territory. And quite frankly, because I dislike Susan so much, I think she'd probably be out on her arse. But anyway, that's it from me. I'm going to go back to this glorious sunshine. I hope everyone's enjoying the summer, and hopefully we'll speak again with you soon. Cheers now. Bye.
I could not believe that she hadn't been fired, because surely she's broken industrial confidentiality.
Yes. Yeah, she has. And and she was a bit arsy in when she was taken in to be taken down a peg or two.
Yeah.
She was argumentative and, as someone who has to manage people, people are terrible. Oh, they can be. No offence to anyone I work with.
No offence to people in general.
But people are awful, and I loathe them, and that's why I listen to The Archers, so I can have my my lack of faith in humanity
confirmed.
Justified week and week on. But yeah, I would have kicked her ass out of Bridge Farm.
Faster than
you can say pasteurized milk.
She could E. coli. She could have jeopardized £1 million deal, couldn't she?
Yeah.
As it turns out, she's probably jeopardised a £1.95 deal. But, you know, it could have been £1 million. And, you know, and she's, like you said, she's blithely unconcerned. All she wants to get across is, well, you shouldn't have done things without telling me first. That seems to be her only kind of, you know, justification yeah. for it. It's just extraordinary. And I thought Pat was remarkably... I think if it had been Tom or Helen, you know, they would have absolutely ripped her to bits. But Pat seemed to be quite sort of low key. And Pat and Tom and Helen don't seem to have commented on it at all. And they're usually, I mean, you know, Tom loves nothing better than going off in a big bang full of self-righteous indignation, doesn't he?
He's really getting on my proverbials at the moment.
Is he? Why?
Well, he's got it in for everyone, hasn't he? And he's still on at the Brookfield lot, isn't he? And every little dig and comment that he can get in, he's making it. And you just think, just drop it, mate, and get on with the rest of your life.
But this was the week his baby was supposed to be born.
Oh, all right, yeah. Fair enough.
I'll just saddle up my high horse now and canter off into the sunset.
You do that.
But, yeah, he does, Tom always does. But did you hear Kirsty when she was saying to him about, I can't believe you're the same person who trashed GM crops with me and everything. And he said, everyone makes mistakes. And she went completely nuts. And, you know, he is trying his hardest to now be a grown up, isn't he?
Yeah. But quite frankly, I'm annoyed by Kirsty's holier than thou, eco warrior, hippy dippy nonsense. I have quite a few views on GMO crops, and they are that, right, organics, for a start. All right, I'm getting on my high horse now, my scientific high horse. We cannot feed the whole world if we purely farm organically. It means that, and people have worked it out, you can feed about 7 billion people if you farm organically. Now, in 20 years, there'll be 9 billion people on this planet. So 2 billion people have got to starve to death if you want to eat organically. Because of various climatic changes and we've run out of land as well. So we have no more agricultural land to grow crops on. So you then have to come into the conclusion that you must grow things more efficiently, and the only way you can do that is by genetically modifying them so that they will fail less, so that they will be more productive.
Yeah.
Otherwise, quite a lot of us are going to die.
You know, you were saying that since you've started doing Dumpty Dum, you've got a load of listeners now who are very fond of you and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I've just pissed on that from a great height, haven't I?
Any more?
Well. So be it.
I think an awful lot of people talk about GM crops without actually knowing what they're talking about. I think it's
all everything.
I think it lent itself very, very beautifully to sort of the, you know, the Franken carrot and that they've got this inbuilt, GM crops have got this inbuilt stop thing so that they die after 4 years, so you have to buy another lot and all this sort of urban myth stuff that was sort of propagated, haha. And I think that probably the people that pontificate about it don't know as much as they could do. I don't mean you.
Yeah. Hmm. No. Well, I don't know as much as I could do. Obviously, I'm talking out the top of my hat, but I do sort of want humanity to continue.
Yeah, it would be good, wouldn't
it? For a little while.
Yeah.
Well, at least until Christmas.
Not James, though.
Oh, no. Well, he's not humanity, though, is he? He's not human.
Anyway.
Quite frankly.
I think that is the end of the callers. Yes, it is. Mm.
Is it?
Mm.
Oh, well.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In an uncertain world, there is always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday 15, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great tunes and allocate 15 minutes to both.
I mean, I was 8 years old, interesting, the same age as the Dragon King's daughter when she comes out of the sea. But what was happening to me when I was 8 years old was that I was at the hands of a paedophile in a classroom for a year. And
awesome. Yeah. For me, I think the reason that I somehow managed to win in the end is that for me, it's about an economy of the three things that bring a song together.
Catch up with me speaking to friends and interesting people every Friday afternoon on Friday 15, which you can get, of course, from a podcatcher of your choice.
Hello, I'm Lucy, and this is Walkie Talkie. I walk my dog, Basil, pretty much every day in a foresty bit of London. I have been doing so for about 4 years, and I meet people that, as a dog walker, you talk to people. If your dogs get on, you tend to just, you say, which way are you going? Can I come with you? And you just sort of amble along, and you can end up having the most extraordinary conversations. Partly because you are walking side by side and facing front, so there's no embarrassing eye contact. If things get a bit heavy, if someone starts talking about something that they find emotional or difficult, then you can always divert your attention onto the dogs and relieve the tension a little bit. We've seen, as a group of dog walkers, we've seen people get pregnant, have children. We've seen people whose dogs have become ill and died, and the owner says, oh, I can never have another one. And then in a couple of months' time, they appear with a puppy and everyone's delighted to see them. And we've seen people's marriages break down, new romances start. It's a lovely way to start your morning. It never fails to give me something nice to think about, something interesting to think about, even if it's not nice. And having a dog is a sort of a universality, really. The people aren't all like me, as I hope you'll realise over the course of the series.
Leading up to the 1860 election, in walks a gentleman by the name of Abraham Lincoln, who is the Republican candidate. The Republicans to the South represent the ending of slavery. And Lincoln, despite the fact that his sentiment was always in the beginning to preserve the Union rather than to abolish slavery, becomes the lightning rod of anti-Southern sentiment. And he ends up winning the election in 1860 with no support from the South.
The Guardian, Manchester, Tuesday,
November 20th, 1860. Summary of news, foreign. The details respecting the presidential election furnished by the New York journalist, not complete, but they not only assure us of Mr. Lincoln's election, but show that the Republican Party has obtained far more than the requisite number of votes for his return. It is calculated that New York, Pennsylvania, the New England states, New Jersey, and the Northwestern states give him 171 electoral votes, or 19 more than the majority required for the election, the total number of electoral votes being 303. It is not improbable, too, that this majority may be further swelled by the result of the elections in the Pacific states of Oregon and California. We have no account of the manner in which the Southerners have received the intelligence of Mr. Lincoln's election. The next advices will no doubt be filled with fierce Southern declamations and protest, but it's not very likely that any Southern states will do anything more than talk loudly about secession.
Listen to the first show exclusively on Mixcloud today and subscribe to us on iTunes. From Washington to Obama, 10 American Presidents, the new podcast from Royfield Brown.
I think now we should have a little bit of a look at Facebook with the captain of the Yokelshire First 11, Mr. Yokel Bear.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Yokel Bear here calling with the social media roundup. And first of all, a big congratulations to Naked Fingers, who lost his Dumpty Dum virginity last week. You did really well, and I really empathised with you about the whole thing. You know, the search for love. Yeah, single here too. So if there's any Dumpty Dum gentlemen out there, I am single and ready to mingle. But enough of my disaster of a love life. Let's get on with the social media stuff. And talking of disasters, we started the week on Facebook talking about Freddy. What'd you do with a boy like Freddy, eh? Is he a spoilt brat? Or should we have some sympathy for him? Gerard Pearson said the poor sod has been pushed into resit after resit, and Luke Hannington says, I think he's depressed. He's got no interest until recently few friends. He thought that going to the Isle of Wight Festival was the best thing Freddie could do, and losing his virginity as well, but as long as he used protection. Fiona Griffin said she expects him to be the same as his sister, but he's very immature. But then again, Liz's behaviour is often self-absorbed and careless as to the consequences. Yeah, I agree. And also, Lizzie, well, she wasn't very mature when she was younger, was she? Hannah O'Brien said he seems like he was on the verge of a panic attack when he went into the exam hall. I think, to be honest with you, yeah, he is a bit of a brat. He is a bit entitled, but I think Liz is pushing him way too hard. And I think this is, the Isle of Wight was, you know, the bit of the comeback there. We did have a brief thread about what should be Freddie's punishment. Joanne Smith said Freddie should be made to take a part-time job to pay back his mother. Luke Hannington again said, give him a good hug, listen to what he says and send him to therapy. However, Trina Hollis had a completely different view. She said, beat him with an inch of his life and lock him in the cellar. Yeah, Trina, that's a little bit harsh, but, you know, whatever. We also talked about a little bit about Lily. I quite like Lily. Yeah, you know, I said on Facebook, you may now cast your stones. I now officially like Lily. Robin Wynn agreed with me and said, I'm 100% Team Lily, and the Archers is trying to up their feminism game with some strong, independent young women. Also Team Anisha. Yeah, I think so. Pete Ransom didn't agree with me. Talk about casting stones. He said he was going to launch a boulder at me. Ooh, I'm going to have to duck out of the way. We also talked about Susan. Was she right to go blabbing off her mouth? A lot of people, Nicholas Barnes, Jahane Dewar, and Paul Dishman, thought that Pat should have disciplined or sacked her. But Denise Tomlinson said, Radio Carter was superb. Self-awareness, nil. Self-righteousness, 100%. Fabulous. And Al Williams said, "I totally admire Susan. Pat thinks she is so superior and talks down Susan, but Susan is having none of it. Go, Susan." I do like Susan. We've also had threads about James and Leone, and to be honest with you, I can't bring myself to talk about it. I think they're both so awful. So go and have a look at those as well. We also asked whether Kirsty, you know, is Kirsty becoming the new moral guardian of the village? Lynn Moore said, "Kirsty is seeing things in black and white. Reminds me of a self-righteous teenager, and she thought she would be appalling as a wildlife campaigner." But Julia Philsell Chapman said, "In theory, Ambridge desperately needs affordable housing. People like Ed and Emma have zero chance getting on the property ladder as it is." Yeah. We also talked about Tom as well. Is Tom losing his principles? Al Williams, again, said, "When Tom battles with his conscience, he always wins." And Alice Andrews said, "Tom and Helen's pickled vegetable cauldron and cheese-making experience sounds like a shit factory." Do you know what? That whole fermented food thing, yeah, just don't get it. But there's also loads of other stuff. We've had so much stuff on the Facebook. Also, as well, on the forum, there's some really good threads, but there's one about whether Rex prefers Anisha to Pip now. And Andrew Horn said, "Pip will sweep in and sow a seed of doubt in Rex's mind. He will dither as ever, and Anisha will just stop it all." So, yeah, I agree with that. Anyway, I'm almost out of time. Okay, cheerio, bye.
Thanks, Yokel Bear. Lucy, can we have... He was very kind about me, thank you. Lucy, can we have your tweets of the week, please?
We can. Sempera Libra, who's very funny, said when it was we were hearing Freddie and Johnny off their proverbials in a tent in at the festival, she said, "Oh, imagine those two lads in a studio in Birmingham shouting all this completely sober while a middle-aged man plays house samples." I think that was what
that's
made
exactly
it
what happened.
Yeah, it does makes it particularly cringy that, you know, there's people are standing around watching. Ugh. Yes, anyway, Cross Fox said, "Mungo never had much of a chance, not since he's been called Mungo."
No. <It's true. laughs> Nail on the head there.
As Bertie Worcester said, "My God, there's some raw work pulled at the font, Jeeves." Anyway, Tri Barak, who is currently on holiday, was listening to Pip banging on about the relief milking and said, "Oh, milking in Winkley or winkling in Milkley, it's all the same to me."
There have been some good tweeters this week.
They have, they have. Stephen Perkins just put, when Helen was showing Tom the research she'd done into the potential buildings for the cheese emporium, he said, "I've saved a few pictures of timber-framed commercial buildings in rural areas. Hashtag sexed." They are the single most boring pair of siblings, those two, aren't they? They're like, yes. When you're at a family wedding, all the younger people would be going, "No, no, no, it's all right. We'll sit with Auntie Nellie. Just don't put us on the table with Helen and Tom." No, no.
Yeah, I mean, it got to a point where I did have sympathy and empathy with Helen, but I think I've lost it all, and definitely with Tom.
It is amazing how quickly your patience with her ebbs away, I have to say. Yes. And this is an observation that stopped me in my tracks, and I thought, oh my God, this is our tweet of the week. Made of sand, I still think Matt sounds like Roland Rat.
Ripping. So who's Kevin the Gerbil then?
Lillian. No, Tom! Sausage Boy, Tom!
Definitely Tom.
I think we should now call him Roland Matt.
Roland Matt, yes. Oh. Do you think half the listenership don't know the hell Roland Rat is?
No, it's quite difficult to explain. He was awful, is the best way to describe it.
Yes.
I was going to say Weasley. You can't have a Weasley rat, can you? Or a ratty weasel.
No, you can't.
He was on breakfast television. He was supposed to be for children, but as always with Britain, he ended up being more appealing to grown-ups because they put in a lot of innuendo and a lot of sneery type jokes. And he used to have this awful whiny London voice, estuary voice, and he'd go, "Nay!" a lot and all this sort of thing. Ugh.
Yeah, a bit slimy and a bit rat-like.
Bit matte.
I will not be able to listen to Matt now without
I know.
hearing the TVAM theme. Good morning, Britain.
Well observed, made of sand. Thank you.
Excellent work.
That's it.
There we are. Whose bit is this next?
Oh, it's me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Nobody loves a smart ass, Mr. Fingers. If you would like to help keep our little show on the road, there are two ways this can be done. You can donate by hitting the donate button on the site, or you can sponsor us via patreon.com.
Remember, to get in contact, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the site, or call 0203 031 3105 to leave a message. You can find Lucy and Royfield on Twitter at Dumpty Dum, and I am at Naked Fingers.
And that's all. Goodbye.
Can I have my money now? Well, we got through that, didn't
we? I'll fight you for the £1.95 we get.
I'll take the 95, you can have the £1.
Yes, I don't
won't get a Bentley with that, will I?
It's good. Not really. This is going to be a bit of a jigsaw job for Royf, I think, piecing it all back together again. Has your life changed since you have done Dumpty Dum?
Well, I'm certainly getting a lot more tweets.
Are you?
Yes. People are following me, and obviously I now have adoring fans, and women of a certain age are having funny turns at the thought of my sultry voice, and if I were to tell them I'm now broadcasting with just an open shirt and very loose shorts on, they might finally flip over the edge. I don't know. I find it very amusing. And the people at work. So after last week's farrago and fiasco.
Yes. Farrago as well. We need to talk about that in a minute. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. And, oh, God, I was it felt so awful. And I just thought the consequences of this, and it's slipping out to my colleagues who might then make up a jigsaw
idea. Hang on, are we saying, Roy Food, you need to take this bit out too? Yes.
Oh, for fuck's sake. You're recording this,
are you? You've done it again. Yes, of course. We start recording as soon as we start talking.
All right. So anyway, I went round and I deleted DTD from their phones and then re-uploaded the new one.
Right.
But what was really nice, and I meant to tell you this, is that one of my colleagues, Nuala, whom I've mentioned on the Colleroonery, she played it to her dad, who hasn't listened to The Archers for about 10 years. But she played it to her dad, who works in radio. He's writes for radio plays and whatever. I forgot to ask his name. And he said that they sound like they've been doing it for years.
Ah,
the chemistry between them, and I think that's true. We immediately picked up on each other's whatevers, and
because we're both mad, that's why.
Yeah, we're both crackpot drunkards.
Yeah,
and you know, I guess it's because I've called in and I've listened to you, so you think you know each other anyway, and you know the cut of someone's jib.
Yes.
The one thing I did notice at the beginning is that I got carried away and I talked over you quite a lot, so I apologise for that, and I'm.
Love. I work with Royfield. I'm used to it. Let's face it. Royfield and Knights are just a constant battle to make the other one shut up.
Oh, God. What with that and my mansplaining and manspreading last week. But yes, I've had some very good reaction to it.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. I'm pleased. I was walking through Epping Forest the other day and a woman went, oh, it's you. It's you, she said. And she was clicking her fingers at me.
Oh, gosh.
Trying to remember something. And I thought, what's going on? I didn't remember her at all. And I thought, has my dog sort of attempted to Roger her dog at some stage? Or, you know, what could she possibly want? And then she went, "You're Dumpty Dum woman," she said.
Oh, how lovely.
So it was like Wonder Woman, but with archers. So that was very nice. Yes.
Oh, good. And how did she just recognise you from...
I'd done a quiz night. It was 5 years ago, Martin and I realised. And she knew me from that.
Okay.
But I've decided I'm going to do another Archers quiz night locally to try and raise money for the poor Grenfell Tower people.
Right.
I don't know what anybody needs yet, because apparently the charity places are being deluged with, physical donation in terms of, money, in terms of food and clothes and stuff. But there must be something, or maybe even to the firefighters charity or something like that. Yeah. I want to do something. And
I think that's a good idea. Good Fireman's Benevolent Fund or whatever.
Yes. Yes. So that's what I'm going to do.
We need to do something.
Yes. So if you want to come and read questions or whatever, you're very welcome.
I'd love to. Because we won, as you know, I won my... I'll be useless
at Archers quiz. Who else were you tweeting to ask for the answers?
I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting you to do that. I was just being, me.
Yeah.
Which is a cheeky song.
Devious.
Anyway, we won in the end. And
what did you win?
It was a tenner. We just put money in the pot and then they shared it out.
I see.
And then... did we win last week or someone? Yeah, we came third last week. Then there was a fiver from that, and they're winning. So we can always give our winnings to charity because sharing a tenner between six people isn't worth it. So I think we're going to give that to Grenfell. But over the years, and I usually do it on Just Giving, and if I look at my Just Giving page, it tells me now that without gift aid, over the years, and it's probably 4 or 5 years, £693 we've given to charity.
From your pub quiz thing.
Yes.
Is there a theme or is it just general knowledge?
usually the rounds are themed. One of our team members did the quiz this week. She wrote it. And Pauline is a retired...
Well, then that's cheating,
surely. Well, no. She didn't tell us the answers, for God's sake. I mean, it does look suspicious. I admit it looks suspicious. And every time she does it, we do win. But no one's cottoned on yet. But one of her rounds was heroines in literature. Bloody hell. Well, you know that. And bloody hell. It was really tough. And then another round was vaccines. And it was like reading a scientific paper, listening to the questions. So sometimes she aims a little high. But I think that's the thing in quizzes. You think, oh, that's too easy. And then so you write the quiz and everyone goes, oh, that's too hard.
Yeah. Somebody was on Twitter the other day saying, can I test you? I can't remember who it was. I've got a feeling it was Exeter Dormouth. Somebody saying, I think I've pitched my quiz wrong. Can someone volunteer to take it for me to see if it's... Because he said, I've got... Some of them seem to be miles too easy and some are miles too hard. And I'm not quite sure.
Well, I think you need a range, and you need. Yeah. And what I don't like is when you cannot even make a wild stab in the dark at the answer.
Yeah.
So then you really should give a clue.
Yes.
In the question of what sort of thing you're looking.
People doing the quiz just feel like writing bum flaps after everything because they just do not know. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But anyway.
It's like spoiling your ballot paper. Just write bum flaps on it. Anyway.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.